Like to turn your attention to Ezekiel, the third chapter, verse number 17. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but I am going to preach.
Amen.
They say that preaching is yelling and teaching is telling, and so I'm probably going to treat you. Most of my preaching is more telling than yelling. I can't see Jesus standing on a corner screaming at people. I see him telling stories, parables. And in Ezekiel 3 and verse 17, it says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." He's talking to Ezekiel. "Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." So the responsibility of Ezekiel is to get the word from God and give it to the people. Amen. And then if you turn to Hosea, the fourth chapter, and verse number 6, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." What an indictment. People are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And you know what our responsibility is to get the information, the knowledge of what we have to the next generation, or God will destroy the next generation. And then if you turn back to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verse 1 says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." In other words, you hear the preaching of God, but you ignore it, and destruction comes, that's your problem. "He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Listen to the preaching. Listen to the teaching. Apply it to your life. "But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." If that watchman, if that pastor, if he doesn't make a clear sound and someone isn't saved, well, one day that watchman will answer to God. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand." I have a responsibility. Many of you heard this story before, but a couple of years ago, my wife and I flew to Cabo San Lucas, and we were walking on the street, and a man and his wife approached us, and they were on vacation. They were on a ship out in the ocean, had 2 hours in the city, and I found out he was a pastor in Houston, Brother John Benson. And we never met before, and I talked to him for a little while, and then I quoted this scripture, and he began to weep. And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "2 years ago, God told me this." And I said, "God, send me a man to confirm your word." So he sent somebody from Wisconsin to Mexico to meet on a street for 20 minutes. I'm telling you, God's getting a people ready. And there has to be a clear sound, folks. You need to be in a safe place. You need to be in a place that someone is not afraid to preach the word of God, instant and in season, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word tonight. Touch it, make it alive. But most of all, touch our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I was in school a few years ago, teachers were respected and admired. In fact, most of the kids in my grade, my wife's grade, they aspired to be a teacher themselves because it was a position that was so admired and so respected. They wanted that kind of position. Education used to be considered the separating factor within the social and academic life. Education was sought after, and when achieved, it was accompanied with success. You knew if you got knowledge, you would always have success. And I'm afraid this generation no longer reveres knowledge. They're not impressed with information, even though we're living in an information age. There isn't as much knowledge today as there was many years ago. Our nation's test scores are plummeting. Ignorance seems to be bliss. Don't confuse me with the facts. I don't want to know your side of the story. We are living in the age of information, and knowledge is really decreasing. They recently did an experiment in Oklahoma I read about today. They asked people to sign a petition to outlaw H2O as a hazardous substance. And there were many people who signed the petition. I hope you didn't drink water today. What's wrong with us? How ignorant can we get? Maybe that's the whole purpose, to see how ignorant we really can become. Much of America's high schools are ranked less than 50% in comparison to all other countries in the world. So why are you giving me this information on society in America, Pastor? Well, according to the Barnum Group, 85% of young people leave their church after graduating from high school. 85. Are you listening, young people? We got a great youth group, folks. When asked why in a survey, they replied, because they were not learning anything in the church anymore. They weren't getting any knowledge. They didn't regard or respect their pastor or clergy because of the lack of information that came forth from the pulpit. America has turned churches into entertainment places and a place of hype, but no information is given to them in order to live the life that God has required for them. And we cannot hope to build lasting disciples if we rely on an entertainment-based program. This is not a social club. This is not a country club. It's not a place that we socialize and just have happy times together. We have to have vital information in order to live for God. Today, as in the past, we need a strong biblical foundation, not theory, but biblical scripture foundation on which we can teach, exhort, and compel individuals to grow their roots in the Word of God, not somebody's opinion. Amen. Well, my pastor thinks, who cares? Does he get it out of this book? Amen. Would you turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter? Second Timothy 4, verse number 1. Here, Paul is charging a young preacher. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. In other words, teachers who will tell you what you want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So he's saying, you know, if there's anything you're going to do, Timothy, you need to preach the word of God. Be kind to people. Help them socially, you know. If they have a flat tire, maybe help them in that area. But first of all, and most important, preach the word. Don't look at their faces. God said to Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. Just preach the word, because sometimes people can intimidate you not to preach the word of God. It was the lack of teaching that caused the newly delivered Israelites to so quickly forget the miracles of God who delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. It baffles the mind how a nation so miraculously delivered could so easily forget God and turn to a golden calf. How in the world could you see the miracles? How in the world could you see the deliverance? And then when the leader wasn't there for a little while, when the word wasn't going forth for a little while, all of a sudden, they turned to a golden calf. However, we have all seen people filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered from habits, even healed from cancers, and then in a short while turned back to their old lifestyle. It baffles the mind how you can see the miraculous and then walk away from the miraculous. The Christian life and commitment seems very tangible in a church service when you're feeling the presence of God and you're seeing what God is doing and the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But when people return to their old friends, fears, and habits, suddenly the message isn't so strong anymore. And this is where biblical teaching and discipleship is imperative. When this teaching is lacking, new saints are swallowed up by waves of the world and all of the influence that the world has on us. We have probably 5 hours in church a week, but how many hours are we exposed to all of that which is going on in the world and hundreds of people who have influence in a different direction from where we're going? You see, it is easier to deliver people than to set them free from their past. It's not as hard to get them to be baptized in Jesus' name, because there's only one baptism in the Bible, and it's for the washing away of their sins, and it has always been in the name of Jesus. In Acts, the 19th chapter, he met 12 disciples, learners of God, on the road to Ephesus, and they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus. So it matters. So it's not hard to show them in black and white that they need to do this. It's not hard to raise your hands and be filled with the Holy Ghost, but then comes the work. People want to be free from the things that control their lives, but many times they don't know how to be free. They don't know how to live for God. They need a support group. They need people who will help them, teach them, because they have been in some form of bondage or another all of their life. Not Not one of us having experienced that. And that was Israel's problem. Someone always ruled over them. And they got used to that, you see. They thought that this was the normal life and even sought to go back to Egypt because that was more familiar to them than being free and given everything to them by God. According to statistics, 75 to 80% of individuals who have been in prison and released return within 5 years. Because people can get used to confinement. Now, I don't believe that's true in Racine Correctional Institute because we've got a dozen guys going in there on a weekly basis teaching them the Word of God. I think we baptized over 2,000 men in Jesus' name over the last several years. But most of them, unbelievable, it's a national statistic, 75 to 80% go back. Many people face the same question that the Israelites did after their deliverance. How do I even live as a free person? Our Pentecostal movement has come a long ways in the last 50 years. We have awesome facilities. We have altar calls that were outstanding. We have conferences that I think we had 30,000 young people at Youth Congress this year, General Conference. There were thousands and thousands of people in Kansas City. Great moves of God. We have people receiving the Holy Ghost all over the world. Every second someone is being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. We're the fastest growing denomination, if we want to call it that, in the entire world. God is doing great things, but that's not the end. This is the beginning. Hallelujah. It's walking the walk. It's after our conversion that the journey and challenges really start. You know? I know the birth process is difficult on you ladies, but those next couple of years, I see Bennett walking like this everywhere. I don't know, Sister Coffee, how you keep up with that boy, you know. But those are the years that you have to keep a close contact with the individuals who are coming out of a foreign country, coming out of the world. They need somebody to touch them and to talk to them because that's the difficulty. Most people who come into the church know very little about the freedom that God wants to give them. They have been programmed by the world for hate and abuse and addiction and destruction in their life and get all you can and can all you get. God expects each of us to not only set an example, but to help them. That's right. Amen. We're in the process of reconciliation. Amen. We had to be taught how to worship and to pray and to how to pay tithes, all a benefit of God's freedom and protection. But somebody had to teach us. You know, I am the man I am today because someone went line by line and taught me the Word of God, and I haven't changed my mind for 40 years, and I'm not going to change my mind because the book hasn't changed. The Bible tells us in Malachi 3 and 6, I am God and I change not. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28 and 19, starting in verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, what about the Father? Well, Jesus is the Father. Amen. He is the Son. Amen. He is the Holy Ghost. But he never said that until he went to Calvary. And then he said, go ye therefore teaching all nations. Go ye therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. What's the name of the Father?
Jesus.
And of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. See, Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost is not a name, and it's not names, it's name. And we know that Jesus is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So the conversion isn't the problem, it's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, that's where the work begins. I mean, the birthing process, yes, there's something involved in it, but I had a friend of mine call me who stood up at my wedding. I think he called me a week ago. I hadn't talked to him in 50 years. And so asked him what he was doing. He was living out in Arizona, and I said, did you ever have any kids? And he said, no. And I said, well, you saved about $1 million. It costs something to have kids, folks. It costs something to have spiritual babies, you know? I mean, I teach Bible studies all the time. I've taught hundreds of Bible studies, and people have come in, been baptized in Jesus' name. But, you know, when you bring the baby home, you don't sit them in the chair and say, hey, there's a refrigerator if you want some food, you know, some blankets in the closet. Take care of yourself. We're on to making more babies, you know. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to disciple people. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The reason why the Israelites walked away from God was because they didn't know God, Brother Mundy. They knew about God, but they didn't know God. I believe that's the problem with a lot of denominational churches. They know about God. Somebody gets up and gives a book report on what it says here, but they have no idea the intimacy of God. Oh, they knew that this God set them free, but they didn't know him as their God. There was a reason for those years in the wilderness, because they needed to depend on and find him as their God. God had set them free, but could God sustain them? Could he be their protector? Could he be their healer? Sometimes God allows things to happen within our life so he becomes our God. Financial problems. Now I know you're my God. Got some problems with my health. Now I know, because you healed me, you're my God. Psalms. David said in Psalms 24, the Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. See, once you make him your God, not the God, not the Church of Apostolic Faith Church, but your God, I shall not want. Not just a God, but my God, and I shall not want for anything. In the valley of death, in the presence of my enemies, he will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. People need to be transitioned from milk to meat to be sustained. Amen. And there are too many babies who are in the church for years still wanting milk. You've got to know him as your God. Amen. Would you turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter? I remember sitting in a Bible study and someone reading this scripture, and the pages in my Bible were wet because I wept seeing something I had never seen before. Matthew 7 and 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We're talking about people who knew about God. They even had experiences with God. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. How in the world could you be around church all your life and even experience some of these things, and then God saying, in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, but I never knew you. And that knew is like Adam knew Eve. There was a consummation of the marriage. In other words, he's saying, you never received my spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Amen. What's the rock? It's the revelation of who God really is. Amen. I thank God that I know him, not just about him. What happens is you know him through the preaching of God's word. You have a greater understanding. I've said this over the years, and if you've heard it, I'm sorry, but I remember Brother Davis preaching at camp. His dad was killed in a boating accident, and he was about 26 years old, and he was at his dad's funeral, and a friend of his dad came up to him, put his arm around him. He said, you don't know me, but I knew your dad very well, and I want to tell you some things about your dad that you don't know about him. You know what? That's exactly my job. I need to tell you some things about your dad that you don't know. And it's going to endear him to you. Hallelujah. Before Elijah received a double portion of Elisha's spirit, there were many days at the feet of Elijah hearing the word of God, submitting to the authority of Elijah. Before Joshua became the leader of Israel, he was the servant of Moses. Joshua was taught every day by Moses. He was by Moses' side, and there was a time when Moses and Joshua went into the tabernacle to worship, and Moses decided to leave, but Joshua stayed because he just was so desirous to linger in the presence of God. And that's what makes you a leader. That is what needs to be impressed on our young people. You need to linger at this altar. You need to create your own love affair with God. It can't be because my parents made me. It can't be because somebody else. You can't have a relationship with somebody who has a relationship with God. You have to have a relationship with God yourself. I'm not going to get to heaven because my wife loves God. It's because I have worked out my own salvation with fear and trembling. What shouldn't be amazing is this. People will never do what they haven't been taught. All my young life, been in church, but nobody taught me that I need to be baptized or filled with your spirit. Nobody taught me that I could have access to healing and the miraculous, you see. But when someone exposed me to the teaching of God's word, all of a sudden I realized, yes, the gifts of the Spirit are for this generation. God wants me to talk to him directly, not going through somebody else. Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed. And the word destroyed means dumb or silent for lack of knowledge. We're not saying anything. We are ignorant to what God has for our lives, and we're being destroyed because someone isn't teaching us the word of God. Years ago, when my wife was president of the ladies' ministry in Wisconsin, there were 1,000 ladies in a meeting, and God told her that she needed to teach on hair. She had the ladies on the platform let their hair down, and she taught on it. And after, she had pastor's wives coming to her saying, I never heard anything like that. Pastor's wives. My teaching on hair has found its way to all kinds of churches all over the place. People want biblical teaching. They want knowledge of Scripture. They want to know what pleases God. Hallelujah. It's not to hurt anybody's feelings. It's to get them to the place where they're so close to God that their joy is full and they have confidence in a relationship with God. Brother Sam Dixon, after coming home from winter youth, told me that he overheard some young people from another church say, holiness was only found in the Old Testament and has nothing to do with us today. It made me want to scream out, what's wrong? Where's the watchman on the wall? Who's teaching? What's happening to the next generation that they don't understand the basics of getting close to God? Somebody ought to get angry. Why aren't these young people taught biblical principles? Because one day there's going to be a challenge in their life and they're going to need God more than ever. We are turning churches into places of entertainment instead of places of information of God's word. And in Luke 6 and 39, Jesus said, can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall in the ditch? Well, see, my pastor doesn't. Where are you getting that information? Are they afraid that people can't handle full truth, but it has to be watered down to comply with today's society? God's church will always be God's church. And we're going to look like God's church, and we're going to conform to God's word. And those who love God's truth are sometimes evil spoken of. Amen. You'll notice that when anybody stands up for righteousness, there'll be a whole crowd wanting to tear them down. We see that politically. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter? Second Peter 2 and verse number 1, Peter warns. This is 2,000 years ago, and he's warning. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or self-destructing ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feign or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Folks, there has to be a watchman on a wall who makes a clear sound. It's not always going to be popular. Amen. What is the purpose for the fivefold ministry if not for the teaching of God's precepts? We could end up with churches without pastors, no need for teaching here. All we need is a social director. It's all about fellowship and entertainment. No, somebody has to stand up. Peter stood up in 120 and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the end days, God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Somebody's got to stand up. You know what? Somebody's got to stand up in this pulpit. Somebody's got to stand up in your house. Somebody's got to stand up at the job. Somebody's got to stand up and declare truth. Yeah. Yeah. But what if their feelings are hurt? I would rather have their feelings hurt and make it all the way to heaven. Would you turn to our last scripture? It's found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, why? I remember in 1988 looking up the word pastor in the Bible because I was just elected as pastor of this church and I wanted to know what I was supposed to do. Glory to God. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Doesn't say anything about social director. Amen. How long should we do this? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's got to be like that shepherd dog watching the sheep saying, you come near my sheep, buddy. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Hallelujah. So God has given us ministries for the perfecting of the saints, the unity of the body, to protect us against every wind of doctrine. Every few months, there's some kind of new thing that comes around and people chase after it. They go here and they go to there because they think that there's something new under the sun. According to Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun. And God's not going to change his mind as to what he wrote in the book. Hallelujah. Church, every time you walk in here, you have a right to expect to hear sound doctrine. If the word of God is not taught, you can justify any kind of lifestyle that you want and people have. You can only teach and live what you have been taught. Thank God for unashamedly apostolic teaching in this place. It saves and it keeps saves. Hallelujah. Bring it on strong. Tell me what you need. Because that way I move in closer. And the closer you get to God, the more you get from God. And the greater protection you have from this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this church. I looked at some pictures of Facebook of our youth group when they were at Madison, and I saw other youth groups. Man, we've got some great young people here. We do. Amen. We have anointed singing and musicians in this church, and it's not just because of their talent, it's because of their life. I just want to move closer. He's got to be my God. My God. I love you all. Would you stand with me? I don't want one person destroyed because of lack of knowledge. this next generation has got to be greater than this generation. And the only way that's going to happen is for them to have a good understanding of what God wants in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. Our junior Bible quizzing and our senior Bible quizzing have taken first in the nation, both of them. And there have been hours and hours and hours teaching them the Word of God. Hallelujah. What a great legacy. Amen. The Word of God. I was walking up into the balcony yesterday to turn the lights on. I was doing the communion stuff. Nobody else was here. And I looked at those trophies. I mean, we have hundreds of trophies for Bible quizzing. We don't have one trophy for volleyball, not one trophy for basketball. We have a beautiful gymnasium, but we have trophies, and those aren't the trophies. The trophies are the kids who have the Word hidden in their hearts. Hidden in their hearts so they won't sin against God. That's a trophy. Thank God for that kind of heritage. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?